Revelation chapter 7 today. And Miriam emailed us that Pastor Rick from the pastor of Calvary Chapel, or not Calvary Chapel, but the pastor in Masbate has passed away. And I guess he wasn't too old, huh? 58? Yeah, and I guess he is diagnosed with leukemia for a month and then he passed away. Went to be with the Lord, so keep them in your prayers over there. Let's pray now, Lord. We pray you provide workers for that church over there and move mightily by your Holy Spirit. Comfort all the people. It's a real loss when you miss someone, Lord, that's doing your work and leading these people. And we pray that all these people would be comforted and you would raise up those to take over the work, Lord, and be glorified there. Thank you for the great work you're doing there. Continue to do it and add people to your kingdom and minister to the hearts now. Bring them comfort and peace as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we're blessed to be Christians. As we sing that song we sang just now, we're actually going to heaven and we don't have to worry about anything. It's so good to be a Christian. It's a reality, heaven. And we're going to be there. It's hard to comprehend it because we're living here. It's so different. Sometimes I try to think about being there. I can't, because it's so different here. All this singing and everything going on, it's going to be interesting. In our current study, we're in that period of what we call the Great Tribulation period. Gone over it in previous chapters. And it's a time on earth so bad that Jesus said there's never been one like it or never will be. It's so bad, that tribulation. Remember, Jesus has the scroll. He took the scroll from the Father's hand. It was sealed with seven seals. And he has opened six of the seals. And now there's this pause between the sixth and the seventh seal. We saw horrible things come upon this earth. Great earthquake. We shared that last Wednesday, and Thursday and Friday we got an earthquake. So I don't know what's going to happen this weekend, but we're safe. I know that. It was a great earthquake, and it was the wrath of God, we read, being poured out on this earth, the cleansing of the earth because of sin. But we studied how the bride, the church, won't be here. That's the good news. We're not going to be here. We'll be with the Lord in heaven. We haven't been called to suffer God's wrath. Now, there are things we need to know. That's why we studied the book of Revelation. We won't be here when we read these chapters, but it's good to know to share it and to let people that are left behind know so it continues on. And when they see the rapture of the church, they're going to say, oh boy, it's true. And hopefully they'll turn to the Lord. Remember in Revelation 6, verse 15 to 17, the kings of the earth, the great men, rich men, commanders of the mighty men, every slave, every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come. And we ended with, who is able to stand? Who can stand against God? Now, before the seventh seal is opened, we are given some information. We told you this before, on two groups of people that John saw in his vision. This is called a parenthesis chapter. You know, we heard all these things. Now he's going to give us some detail about things on this earth and during that time when that was happening. We'll break another seal later on, but we're getting more information to fill in what's really happened and how there are going to be some people that are going to be okay. You know, we read earlier that there'll be people beheaded, martyred for testimony of the Lord. It seems God interrupts this scene in chapter 6 of his wrath being poured out to give us some information on God's mercy. God is merciful. As horrible as that is, you know, the question we ended with in verse 17 is, who is able to stand? Well, there's going, he goes on in 7 to give John this information, there are going to be some people that are going to stand, that are going to make it. There will be people who will stand during this period. They're God's people. They're going to be called God's people. The church is in heaven. This is a different group. We see God's mercy in this chapter. After these things, I saw 4 angels standing at the 4 corners of the earth, holding the 4 winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. 4 angels, God's messengers, his ministers, standing at the 4 corners of the earth. You know, everybody uses that term, you know, the 4 corners of the earth. It came from the 4 corners of the earth. We know the world is round, it's not square. You know, Job told us that way back in the Old Testament. It means north, south, east, and west. They're in every direction of the earth. We use this term a lot, 4 corners of the earth. These angels have control over the wind, and they're holding the wind from blowing. Can you imagine that? Not a breeze on the earth? Boy, I would not want to be here. As hot as it, gets sometime. This could mean that a great storm is about to come on the earth, over the earth. You know how they say there's this calm before a storm? I've seen that happen where it's so calm, and then all of a sudden those thunderstorms and lightning and things hit. No wind, nothing. Now, I don't know how long it's going to last, but there's no wind. And we're going to read of more judgments next week, but there's this calm before the storm. These angels are delaying the wind, the storm, the wrath to come. And some people are going to be protected. Can you picture these 4 mighty angels holding winds from blowing? Just holding it. Nothing's going to happen. Not going to blow. You notice on the earth, not going to blow on the sea or on any tree. Not a tree will be moving. A leaf will be moving. Now, with the smoggy, polluted place this will be, I can't imagine what it'll be like. The air. Wow. No wind. Sea as calm as glass. Surfing conditions, 0. No waves, nothing. And then John sees another angel. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east. So there's this 5th angel, and he seems to be superior. He's a messenger from God here. This other angel ascending from the east, having this, he has this seal of the living God. You know how you have this seal when you stamp things with a seal? He has God's seal. Isn't that something? God has a seal of what's his property. He has the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the 4 angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea. This other angel comes down. He shouts to the 4 angels who are holding the wind back, and he has this stamp. It literally means the seal to stamp. And he shouts in verse 3, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." Don't do anything yet. Keep holding that back. Don't harm anyone yet. A job has to be done first. Hold off the judgment, the wrath, because there's this group of people that have to be sealed with the seal of God on their foreheads. And it literally means to be stamped on their foreheads. Now, these people are on the earth during the tribulation period. The Lord is going to put his seal upon them, his seal of ownership, so they'll be safe. They're God's people, and they're going to stand. We'll see that group again in chapter 14. Let's turn to chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 1. "Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads." It's the Father's name, the seal. It's the Father's name on their foreheads. No doubt who they belong to, there'll be no doubt. They're God's. They're God's people. people, and they'll be stamped, God's people, on their forehead. And notice in verse 3, they are the servants of God. Where the church, these people will be servants. They're the servants of God. He sealed the servants of God on their forehead. Maybe these people may be the ones who are going to be witnessing here while these things are going on. They are God's servants here. Now, isn't it interesting? We know of another group of people on this earth during the tribulation period who will receive a mark on their foreheads or on their hand. It's interesting when we read that in the other chapter there, that just before it is those people getting the mark of 666. And then it goes into, well, there's these people that are sealed on their forehead for God. Isn't that interesting? There's going to be these two groups of people. You're either for the Antichrist, for Satan, or for God. Just like today, there's no middle ground. You're for Jesus or you're against Jesus. You're a believer or an unbeliever. So there's these people during the tribulation period. They're going to receive a mark on their forehead. These unbelievers are going to be marked also, either on their hand or on their forehead, and it'll be the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, and not God, and they serve the devil. These are servants of God. Revelation 13, verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell, except one who has the mark or name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So there's going to be those that are marked that way. In Revelation 14, verse 9, then a third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives the mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God. They're going to have the wrath poured out on them, but these won't because they have the mark of God on their forehead, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. So they don't serve God, and they're doomed. But these other people will be sealed by God, and they belong to God. So when you are sealed by God, you're safe. Don't you wish you were protected or sealed by God? We are. Even now, we, his people, are sealed by God. We're safe. We're in his hand. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Isn't that great? We're also sealed now. Only we don't see the mark, but we're sealed. And he's given us the Holy Spirit. And it tells us that in Ephesians 1, and 13 and 14, and Ephesians 4, verse 30, we're sealed. So we know everything works together for good to those who love God, because God loves us and he works on our behalf. We're okay. Now, how many are there and who are these people that are sealed? Verse 4. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. What does that mean, people say? They make all kinds of different stories about this. You know what this verse means? There's only going to be 144,000 of them, and they're all Jews. It's not a very deep theological thing. I mean, I don't know how simple you can get in Scripture. People come up with in these cults and everywhere where it's this group of people or different things. But to me, I think 144,000 means 144,000. And they're of the tribes of the children of Israel. They were sealed. These are the ones that were sealed. All Jews, no Gentiles. It's not the church. It's the 12 tribes. And we read in verse 5 of the tribe of Judah, 12,000, Reuben, 12,000, Gad, 12,000, Asher, 12,000, Naphtali, 12,000, Manasseh, 12,000, Simeon, 12,000, Levi, 12,000, Issachar, 12,000, Zebulun, 12,000, Joseph, 12,000, and Benjamin, 12,000. So there they are. These are the Jews saved during the tribulation period. They will be sealed and be God's servants, no doubt evangelized. They're not Gentiles. They're not Jehovah's Witnesses or from other cult or sect. It's very clear. I don't know how anybody can misinterpret that. 12,000. Now, you know, the JWs believe, you know, that the 144,000 go to heaven, the others are going to inherit the earth. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. Plus, I always think of this. Don't they know there's already been 144,000? Now, in Genesis 49, now, if you're a biblical scholar, you're interested in, you know, searching the scriptures, in Genesis 49, we see the 12 sons of Israel, of Jacob, listed in Genesis 49. Let's go there. We'll quickly go over that. Genesis 49. You know, verse 1, it tells us, Jacob, or Israel, called his sons and gathered them together and tell you what shall befall you in the last days. There's a prophecy for them. First we see in verse 3, Reuben, you know, he gives a prophecy over him. Then we see Simeon and Levi. And then, you know, we see Judah. We see, go past Judah. And we see Zebulun, Issachar. We see Dan. We see Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Joseph. And we go through all of these, Benjamin on the end. And you'll notice the 12 tribes listed there and the list here in Revelation 7 is different. There's a couple of differences. Remember Joseph, you know, who was taken captive and had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And then dad came back and he laid his hand on him and he gave, you know, a double portion to Joseph, which really went to his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And we usually see them listed. Levi's usually not listed in there because they didn't really have their own portion of the land. They were in each tribe's portion as serving as priests. So you see the tribes listed differently. In this one in Revelation 7, you know, we often don't see Joseph listed, but we do. Usually, like any other listing, it would be Ephraim and Manasseh. And in this listing, Levi's listed, and there's no Ephraim and no Dan. Two of the tribes that you would normally see, Ephraim and Dan. Instead, there's Joseph listed and a tribe of Levi. Well, why would that be that they're not listed here? It's thought to be because that tribe of Ephraim and Dan, they were given over to idolatry. And therefore, they're not listed here as doing this work. But when you read about the land being distributed in the millennium, they will be getting a portion of it. But not here, to be servants here and to be sharing in this time in the tribulation. If you turn to 1 Kings chapter 12, you can see that. 1 Kings chapter 12. First Kings 12, verse 28. Therefore, the king asked advice, made two calves of gold, and said to the people, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods." Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt, and set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. So that one area was in Ephraim, and one was in Dan, and so many believe that's why they're not listed here, because of their idolatry. But literally, they're all part of the sons of Israel, of Jacob, and they will all get a portion in the land when it's divided in the millennium. But here they're not used here. Now, there are witnesses for Jehovah, but they're not Jehovah witnesses. They're going to witness for Jehovah. So if everybody comes up to you and says, you know, with the Jehovah Witnesses, well, you can just tell them, well, I'm a witness for Jehovah. And there's a difference in that. Many people believe that Dan, well, a lot of people believe Dan might be the tribe from which the Antichrist comes. And maybe that's why he's not listed here. You know, in Daniel 11, if you'd like to turn to Daniel, it's interesting. It's in Daniel 11. And we're talking about the tribe of Dan. Daniel 11. No relation. Daniel 11, verse 37. Talking about the Antichrist here. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all. It says he won't regard the God of his fathers. And his fathers would start with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And see, one of Jacob's sons was Dan. So many believe it could be from that tribe, the tribe of Dan, because he's not going to regard the God of his fathers, not have the desire of women, nor desire any god. And they were also given to idolatry. So just some people's thoughts, can't say for sure. The Bible doesn't tell us. It's just something to think about. So we see the tribes, and then we go to verse 9. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. What a scene. He sees all these people. These people are all in heaven around the throne. The others were on earth. People from all nations. There's this group of people here now. People from all nations. It's not this Jewish group we just read about. They're on earth. These are in heaven. He sees these people from all nations clothed in white, having palm branches similar to Palm Sunday, triumphant entry. And they're praising God for salvation. You know, what better gift than salvation? No one could number them. That's how many there were. In verse 10, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So they're on the throne, and they're giving God this praise, and all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So, in verse 10, they're praising God for salvation to God and to Jesus. And then in 11 and 12, the angels, and you know, the other creatures and people we saw around the throne agree and they say amen. They're not singing, they just say amen. So there's that group, and then the angels joined in, and the elders and the four living creatures, they just say amen. God is continually being worshiped in heaven. It's amazing. It's got to be an amazing thing. And we ought to worship him while we're here. Now, angels did not personally experience salvation. But remember, it tells us in Luke 15 that they rejoice when one sinner repents. So they know about it. So they're rejoicing over people's salvation. And they say, amen. Now, who are these people that you couldn't even count from all over? Verse 13, then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? One of the elders up there asked John, knowing that John doesn't know, but he asks him, who are these people? Who are these people arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from, this throng up there praising God like this? And John says in verse 14, sir, you know. Hey, I don't know. You know. What are you asking me for? You know, I don't know. So he said to, probably because he wants John to ask him. So he said to me, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There were that many, you know, from all nations, from all people, around the throne praising God for salvation, not the church. These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and they became believers then. Maybe witnessed too by these 144,000. So there's a group of people that's going to be saved. That's why it's important to share the gospel, even with unbelievers. You know, sometimes you think it's going on deaf ears, but they're going to know. And they're going to say, whoa, I'm going to believe now because the tribulation period has come. And so John says, you know, great tribulation martyrs. They weren't raptured. They're not the church. They're people who died for Jesus in the great tribulation period. So God, in this chapter, gives us a couple of groups of people that will be saved then. That's wonderful to know. But what a way to go through the tribulation period and be martyred for it. That's scary. Isn't it easier now? It's the group we read of in Revelation 6, verse 9 to 11. Remember, they asked God, how long before you get vengeance on this earth? Remember, they were under the altar, these people that were martyred? Revelation 6, verse 9 to 11, when they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, Lord, how true, you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Well, it's now being judged. And in verse 15, therefore, they are before the throne of God. See, here's how we know it's not the church, that it's the, number one, because it tells us they're during the tribulation period. And then also in verse 15, therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night. We reign with him. We don't serve him. So the benefit is we have a better position in heaven. I'd rather reign than serve. Well, I'm sure serving the Lord would be great. You don't want to say anything about that. But reigning sounds good. And coming back here in the millennium and reigning sounds good. That sounds good. These are serving him in his temple. He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. And in verse 16, he tells them, they shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. So they're going to be safe. They're not going to suffer, go through the catastrophes. They are safe there with God. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them, take care of them, and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Don't we also see that for all of us who get to heaven? We're going to read in the book of Revelation, there'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, and you wipe every tear from your eyes. Same thing they're going to get. They're going to be servants of the Lord. So a glorious future for us, and we see a couple of groups of people here today that will be able to come. And next week we pick it up in verse 8 and get into some more judgment. Lord, we thank you for giving us life and giving us this opportunity to know you now. Well, it's so easy, Lord. And we thank you that we're here to give this good news to other people. Lord, it's good that people know what lies ahead. Remind us of what we've studied here so we can share it with other people. Let us have it written on the tablet of our heart. And let it be powerful so that people believe it. Lord, we want you to use us. You've given us this information, this truth. so that we can share it with others. Open doors to do that. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.